In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, the Hebrew writer says, "But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." In almost every one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the various churches and individuals, there was an encouragement to remain faithful, to be steadfast, or to persevere, or to persist, or to exercise patient continuance, is how we find this sometimes. In the letters that were written to the seven churches that we've been studying thus far in our Sunday morning Bible class, in almost every one of them, there is the urging to keep on keeping on. I'm convinced that that is one of the things that we need to constantly be. In fact, I guess we could say we need to keep on reminding each other to keep on keeping on. It's something we need encouragement in. One of the failures of some of the churches in those seven churches was that they had not continued. Remember Ephesus? They had forgotten their first love. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, they had forgotten some of the things that they had been taught, and they were lax in their service to the Lord. When Jesus came to bring salvation to the world, he came through the Jews who were God's chosen people. Yet when he came to earth and he began to go about ministering to the Jews and teaching them about salvation, he found that they had fallen away from God. The book of Judges is full of accounts of Israel not remaining faithful. Brother John has been talking about the faithful that are talked about later on in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 that we see reference to in these passages. And one of the attributes that comes forth every single time he talks about one of those, whether it's those that are named or those that he's dealing with now that are included in the, and there were many others, they remain in face of persecution faithful to God. They persevered. And so, that's what we want to talk about this evening. Perseverance, persistence, patience. We want to consider some things regarding this. This text that was written, that we just read there in Hebrews chapter 6, was written as a means of encouragement to brethren, just like all of the texts that the Apostle Paul wrote. This is one of those passages in the book of Hebrews that really sounds a lot like Paul, because over and over, this was an urging, an encouragement that he gave to his readers, to the various congregations, that they would continue. We too can find ourselves, if we're not careful, in danger of throwing away our salvation because we become weary in doing good. Because we are not maybe seeing the kind of progress that we were hoping to see, and it becomes discouraging. And therefore, we begin to slip. We lose a little bit in our steadfastness and in our watchfulness, and we don't persevere. Perseverance and patience and persistence in particular is one of the things that stands out in all aspects of life as a necessary trait. Many of the heroes that we have of our past, many of those that we look up to, the reason we look up to them is because they were men and women who kept on trying. Some of those that hold records in our sports franchises, they only hold those records because they just kept at it. I've got Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth down here. I don't know if they even hold records anymore. Somebody's probably shattered some of them by now. But Ty Cobb was at one time known for stealing bases. he was also known for being thrown out more times trying to steal bases than anybody else. Babe Ruth had records for home run hits in the number of games that he was in. He also had over 1,300 strikeouts. Thomas Edison, 14,000 times he failed in making a light bulb. In fact, while he was doing that, somebody asked him, said, why do you keep going? You keep failing. And Edison told him, I read this quote on the internet, so it may not have been Edison. But the idea was, I haven't failed. I've learned 14,000 ways not to make a light bulb. That's the kind of attitude that some of our heroes have. One of the presidents that we look up to from in the past, Abraham Lincoln, failed to win elections 8 times before he became our 16th president. And there are a number of these things we could look at. Albert Einstein wasn't good at math in school. Book authors that have submitted hundreds of books and been rejected before their first one was, you know, successful. And then they wrote hundreds more. We see this throughout life. We've seen it in our own individual lives. Marriage is an exercise in perseverance and patience and persistence. Just getting married takes a lot of persistence sometimes. Not all of us were lucky enough that our wives said, hey, I want to go out with you. We had to keep asking and asking before they would actually say, yes, I will go out with you. We had to spend a lot of time and effort in order to be accomplished at that. In our marriages, we have to keep working at it. It's not something that we can just put on idle for a little while and expect it to remain. We've still got to do that. We've still got to do the things that brought us together to begin with. After the wedding this past Friday night, I got Jonathan and his new bride Jacqueline together, and I said, I got some sage advice for you. I said, love each other. You got to keep loving each other if you want your marriage to be successful. Those of us who have raised kids, some of you who haven't raised kids, you're still kids yourself, may not understand this, but raising kids is an exercise in persistence and perseverance and patience. I spell these things to emphasize to us that we understand what we're talking about when we talk about this idea of persistence, of needing to continue. Yet, we still sometimes fail to remain persistent in serving the Lord. I think one of the things that we need to always keep in mind in regards to this is these are the actions that will bring the reward at the end. The continuing to do. I think that's what we need to bring to mind when we look out at how we've done and we say, you know, I haven't seen a lot of success. I don't see a lot of progress in the things that we've been trying to do or trying to accomplish as a Christian. I can't get my neighbors to listen to me about the Word of God. I can't get anybody to come to gospel meetings. I can't get anybody to commit to a Bible study. We need to remember that there's great reward to be achieved if we continue in those things. Not just the reward of seeing someone obey the gospel if we are finally able to talk with someone and study with them and bring them to that point, but the reward of knowing that we've done the will of God and there's a place waiting for us as His children for all eternity. But not even in that. We're instructed by God that we ought to grow. That we need to increase. Grow up beyond the immature Christian that we begin as. And become one who is mature. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to increase. There comes a time that we have to put away our childish things. And one of those childish things is losing interest. You ever watch the child playing with something? It's funny watching Hudson sometimes, and I know you've probably watched your grandkids and your own kids, and they'll be fine and doing something, and then all of a sudden they forget what they're doing, it seems, and just stop and go off and do something else. It doesn't matter much when you're a little kid, you know. It doesn't matter which toy you play with or how long you play with it, but we've got to grow up. I think one of the problems with our society today is young people don't recognize the need to keep on keeping on. They do something as long as it holds their interest, or as long as it's fun, and then when it quits being fun, they leave and go somewhere else. But they want to stop that and go do something else. But in order to find success, we have to keep on. And that's true in regards to increasing in our maturity as Christians. Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren in that chapter on love, and he reminded them that there was a time when he was a child and he spoke like a child, he thought like a child, he reasoned like a child, but he became a man. And he put away those childish things. We need to recognize the need to grow up and keep ourselves focused on the Word of God. If we're going to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're going to have to spend time studying and reading from the Word of God. Just a few verses above our reading this evening, the Hebrew writer reminds his writers that those who are mature because of practice and exercise in training themselves to discern both good and evil, because they continue in the Word. They spend time reading and studying and preparing. We talk a lot about the need to study the Word of God and to read the Word of God, and it's a part of that persistent action that we must do as Christians. Because it's the only way that we're going to grow closer to God. It's the only way that we're going to become mature, is to feed ourselves on the Word. Sometimes that Bible reading that we've been doing all year long, or actually for most folks I've run into, that Bible reading you start in January and you get into Leviticus about March or April, it gets a little monotonous. But if we'll persevere through that, we can find some gems in that book that are helpful to us in our devotion to the Lord. And then we get into some of the more meatier stories that give us more and more and more about how God deals with His people, what He expects of us. And then we move into the New Testament and we find all of that meat that is found there. Because we've got the basics. We've read and we've learned and we've gleaned the milk of the Word. Now when we go back, we can look just a little bit deeper and we can grasp just a little bit more, and then we can maybe see a little better how to apply those particular things into our individual life. Maturity comes through constantly exercising ourselves in the Word of God and practicing the will of God in our lives, always seeking out His ways. When Peter writes in the first chapter of his second epistle of the things that a Christian needs to do, he begins with applying all diligence. There in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning, "For this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If we want to grow in the Lord, as Peter instructs toward the end of this letter, we've got to apply diligence. Not just putting forth strength, but a continual process of going through these things. It's not something we sit down one day and say, okay, today I'm going to strengthen my faith, and next week I'm going to work on my virtue, but we're working on them all constantly. And we remain persistent in doing that. When things try to distract us, we remember why we're doing these things once again. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39, the Hebrew writer emphasizes this idea of being rewarded, of what awaits. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Note what the Hebrew writer there says. If you keep going, there is great reward. The reward that's been promised from the very beginning of time. Of man being in the presence of God. I know a lot of times that we tend to see and focus on the here and now. And what progress am I seeing here? What reward am I getting for what I'm doing today? We need to remember that our reward is in the end of time. We're striving for something that transcends this world, that is beyond the things that we might achieve here. It is a great and wonderful reward. I hope as we go through the book of Revelation in our Wednesday night class, we're going to see some images of that reward as we read there and study of how God, through this letter of Revelation, encourages those Christians to persevere, to be persistent and consistent in their serving God so that they can receive the final reward. We need to persevere. Because it does bring great reward. With the knowledge of the fact that it does bring great reward, it should sometimes surprise us why folks don't keep on. Why don't they overcome? You know, we've seen that word several times in our study in the book of Revelation. He who overcomes. There's a lot of folks that give up, that quit. In fact, there's some folks that probably are in a similar situation to you or have been in the past, and they stopped. They gave up. They looked and said, I don't see any progress here. I'm not getting what I expected. Therefore, I'm going to quit trying. And what's happened is they have allowed their obstacles to overcome them rather than they overcoming the obstacles. We need to develop the attitude that the Apostle Paul expressed to the brethren in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, beginning when he said, Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That attitude of keeping on, keeping on. Not letting the obstacles tear us down and hinder us, but overcoming those obstacles. Being willing to pay the price that is necessary in order to achieve victory. Those who run in races, those who ride their bicycles in races, and even their athletes that play the football and basketball and all those things, they recognize that it's going to cost them something to be successful. One of the things that they recognize very early is it's going to take time and effort. Just about every morning I see several young men come walking down. I call them young men. They're middle schoolers. Come walking down the road in front of the house headed to the gym. They're going to work out to get ready for football season. I know they're doing it over at the high school as well and all around. They're getting ready. They're working out. They're putting in the time and the effort. They're paying the price so that they can see success. We need to be willing to do that. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The Hebrew writer here uses the image of sports, of probably the games that were prominent during that time frame, to emphasize this idea that we need to continue on. And he even speaks of at least some sort of reward when he starts out there. He said, seeing how there is such a great cloud of witnesses around us, all of those people that he talked about there in Hebrews chapter 11, all of those ones that we can read of in the Old Testament, those that we sometimes use the phrase heroes of faith to refer to them. And maybe we've got some of our own that we've known through the years, men and women that we look up to as we were growing up, and we remember their names and remember the attitudes and how they bore up under the difficulties or trials. There's a reward, at least to some degree, in thinking that maybe we can be a part of that group. You know, those guys that are down there exercising and doing the weights and everything, getting ready for football, they probably have a little more focus on fame and fortune than we would consider in regards to our service to God. But there is some reward in the fact that if we remain faithful, if we put forth this effort, if we lay aside the things that are causing us trouble, if we overcome the hurdles, we can be a part of that great crowd, encouraging others. I think we need to stop and think about how our perseverance or lack thereof is going to influence those who come along behind us. What are they going to say when they look at how those that they were looking up to as they were growing up fail or succeed? How's it going to affect them? You see, not only are we looking at those that have gone before us, but we need to recognize there are others who are watching us. They're looking to us. They're considering how we respond to the various situations. We need to respond as one who is seeking after the great reward, that's got sight on what we're all about, what we're after. And we continue there in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. The writer says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. There's the real goal. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Every time I read that verse, I have this thought. Where was the joy? For the joy set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. Well, it certainly wasn't on the cross. You know where the joy was? In knowing that he was bringing salvation to man. The joy was you and me obeying the gospel so that we could be in heaven with God, submitting our lives to him. There's the joy. And we need to look to him. And we need to develop that same kind of joy. The desire to be in heaven. That's going to help us overcome those obstacles. The fellow that runs a race doesn't run the race just to be running. Well, some of them may. They don't run the race just to be running the race. They run the race to gain the prize. And our prize is heaven. Being with God for all eternity. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Know what Paul says there. We belong to heaven. That's where our citizenship is. And we eagerly await being transformed into that being that can be in heaven for all eternity with God. The corruptible cannot inherit the incorruptible. Our bodies must be changed. That only happens if we remain faithful to the Lord. If we get too distracted by the things of the world around us and begin to turn back into the world because of our love for the world, we lose that prize. Certainly that is why so many are overcome by the obstacles that they face. They have a stronger love for the world and for the Father, and therefore the love of the Father is not in them, as we read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Convinced one of the other things that we need to keep in mind in regards to this idea of perseverance, persistence, and patience. And it goes back to some of the examples that we mentioned at the beginning. We're probably going to mess up sometimes. We're probably going to have some failures in our life. Hopefully we won't have the ongoing failure after failure after failure of some of those that we made mention of just a few moments ago. But we're going to have to deal with mistakes, with messing up, because we're not perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has our weaknesses, and we know that when we are overcome by our weaknesses, we fail, we commit sin. But making a mistake, failure one time, does not have to be fatal. Does not have to be final. We can pick ourselves up and go again. The good coach doesn't pull his star player because he fumbles the ball one time. They don't pull a guy out of the lineup just because he has a little slump in the middle of the summer. Just because we may mess up doesn't mean that we've lost the race. We can pick ourselves back up and go again. Consider, for example, John Mark. He went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. We read in Acts chapter 15, when they were getting ready to take a second journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him, but Paul said no. And his reason was, John Mark failed us. He turned back and didn't go to the work. But later we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul giving instruction to Timothy, bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me for service. I don't know what the change was, don't even know the time frame involved. But that mistake of John Mark did not keep him from being available and useful to the Lord at a later time. We read in the book of Galatians about the mistake that the Apostle Peter made. Even after he had preached all the sermons that he preached, even after he'd been instrumental in bringing the Gentiles into the kingdom, he failed the Gentiles. He gave in to his old ways. He went back to the Jews when they came, separating himself from the Gentiles. But then later we see the books that he wrote, the instructions and the encouragement that he gives. Even before that, he's the one that denied the Savior while the Savior was watching. And then just a month or so later, he's the one that stood up and preached the gospel. We need to make sure that our mistakes, our stumbles, don't stop us. We pick ourselves back up and we move forward. Sure, we miss a step every now and then, but we don't let that keep us from continuing to move forward for the Lord. We need to make sure that we don't let tribulations and afflictions pull us down either. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Paul said, those snags, those problems, those difficulties that you run into, they build perseverance. They strengthen us. They make us so that we can do more. They are what allow us to grow and become mature Christians. we need to make sure that we don't let the difficulties that we might run into, even if one of them causes us to stumble, we don't let them bring us down to the point that we give up and stop serving the Lord. You know, it's called the school of hard knocks for a reason. Because you get beat up. You get banged up. But we learn and we grow and we increase. And it brings us great reward. Throughout the seven letters that we've been studying, written to those churches in the book of Revelation, as we come to the close of each letter, we find a "He who overcomes." In every single instance, "He who overcomes." In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7, we read, "He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Those things that he's talking about, it's the heaven that he saw in the visions, the city that belonged to God, the citizenship and the place with God for all eternity. Those things are ours if we overcome. And in order for us to overcome, we have to be persistent. Never give up. Continuing to fight for that which is right in the sight of God, and to lead our lives in a manner that is an increase to Him and ourselves toward righteousness and drawing us nearer to Him. Paul told the Galatian brethren in chapter 6 and verse 9, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." I think one of the biggest dangers to our perseverance and persistence may be the discouragement of looking around us and saying, things aren't better yet. We need to understand that really and truly we're not looking for better yet now. We're looking for better yet in the end. Our goal is not large numbers. Our goal is to remain faithful to the Lord. I'm convinced if we are faithful to the Lord and doing what He asks us to do, we will see increase in our own knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And if we're practicing our religion as we ought to, we're going to see increase in other ways also. But just because we see decrease, just because we don't see the kind of increases that we expected, let us not let that discourage us. Let us persevere. Let us be persistent in doing that which we know is right. We're surrounded by a world that is focused upon self. We need to be focused on God. And the goal of being attended to Jesus in heaven when the life is over. That means continuing in the Word, being faithful to that Word in all of our actions, and continuing to do that even when it's hard. Never stop serving God. If you look this evening, you find there's something in your life that's missed. And you just need the encouragement of the brethren. You need prayer because there's some sin that is constantly tearing you down. Some difficulty that you're having trouble overcoming. Our congregation is here. We will pray with you and for you. We'll go to God on your behalf if you need us to. In regards to your sin, if you will turn from your sin, God promises that He'll forgive it and confess it to you. Our congregation is ready to assist in whatever way. We see that each one of us will pray for one another. You need particular prayers of the congregation this evening because of sin in your life. You need to obey the gospel. Opportunity is yours. Why not come to a stand and sing here?